Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. If your home or business has pests, don't stress it. Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. The Trump pecker porn star sex payoff saga will drag on until at least tomorrow, or probably next week, depending on whether you believe the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. However, though like nature, political commentary abhors a vacuum and makes stuff up to fill it, there is one good surmise to offer here. The possible campaign finance and or business records charges against Trump have almost certainly not been dropped from consideration, and we know that again from the simple reality that if they had, the Trump lawyers would know that. And thus Trump would know that, and thus Trump would have told everybody in the country that, even if he had to stop passersby in the street and tell them one by one. I keep getting asked, though, why this delay? Why that delay? Why that other delay over there? Okay, I've done some work. I have some answers. To those of us squirming in our seats waiting for a mugshot since, I met Trump in 1983. Some other things to remember. The prediction that Trump was going to be arrested a week ago Tuesday was made by Trump. And his predictions do tend to be about 100% wrong. The Times also offers the helpful reminders that grand juries are not sequestered, that they do not always work on only one case at a time, and that this one is clearly looking at least two, and that while this one usually meets Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it was not expected to meet today. And the Wall Street Journal said its sources said it would also not meet tomorrow, and that this could easily have nothing to do with the case or the other case or Trump or Bragg or anybody else. The grand jurors have lives, and they are not expected to show up every time the grand jury meets. There are 23 grand jurors, and 16 must be present to conduct any business at all. And when the district attorney wants to vote on an indictment, the jurors in attendance on the day of that vote must have all heard all the testimony of all the previous key witnesses. It's a scheduling issue. We all know Trump believes the sun and the planets revolve around him, but the delays are less likely to have anything to do with him and much more likely to owe to grand juror number 17's responsibility as a dental hygienist or brain surgeon or conductor on the railroad, whatever. If you have never been on a jury of any kind in New York City, and you were expecting something out of Inherit the Wind or The Verdict or even the New York City situated 12 Angry Men, forget it. Navigating the jury system in New York is like going to Grand Central Station at rush hour, only more crowded and with more people talking all at the same time over a PA system you cannot understand. Since Trump's arrest announcement, which in retrospect looks more and more like just another of his fundraising gambits, number 874,226 in his case, the only known actual change to Alvin Bragg's schedule before this grand jury was the Trump introduction of Robert Costello to rebut Michael Cohen, and then the DA's introduction of David Pecker to rebut Robert Costello, And Mr. District Attorney, is that a pecker in your pocket, or are you just glad to see us? Thank you, Nancy Faust. There is one other relevant thought here, but it is also speculative, and it has been touched on by the former Obama Ethics Counsel Norm Eisen and the former federal prosecutor Glenn Kirshner and even the former student in exactly one law class in college guy, me. It is possible that D.A. Bragg has now asked his grand jury to examine the possibility of additional charges against Trump, particularly under New York Penal Code 195.05, quote, obstructing governmental administration in the second degree. A person is guilty of obstructing governmental administration when he intentionally obstructs a public servant from performing an official function by means of intimidation, physical force, or interference, whether or not physical force is involved. The code then has one additional specific, which I do not think applies here, but who knows what's bouncing around in Trump's empty mind. 195.05 also deems illegal, quote, releasing a dangerous animal under circumstances evincing the actor's intent that the animal obstruct governmental administration. I may have to spend some time getting the backstory on that provision. Perhaps, sir, this hyena will remind you of what you did on that night. Or perhaps it's a reference to some of Trump's creatures in Congress. CNN actually had a fascinating piece on how Trump is manipulating Republicans in the House to try to pressure the Manhattan DA, even though he can rightfully ignore those Republicans. And so far, all these threats got Jim Jordan was a note from the DA's general counsel that basically said, Mr. Bragg is too busy to deal with your nonsense himself, so I'm doing so, moron. Trump's leading puppet? It is not Jim Jordan, but rather Elise Stefanik, who sold her soul quite some time ago, and to use a contemporary pop culture reference, quite a rarity for me, is the Renfield to Trump's Dracula here. CNN quotes three sources who say Stefanik reaches out to Trump about once a week, and he also calls her irregularly. They spoke several times last week and happily, quote, she walked him through the GOP's plans for an aggressive response to Bragg, which is sad on both ends because not only did Republican after Republican ignore subpoenas from a Democratic House, but this group would have to go to Merrick Garland to get a contempt of Congress charge going against Alvin Bragg. And as we all know, if you want to make sure somebody is not charged with anything, the man you want to see is Merrick Garland. The other Trump water carriers, Marjorie Greene, not a surprise, Jordan, of course, though a Jordan spokesman tried to give him a climb down by downplaying the idea that Jordan was talking to Trump just about the Stormy Daniels case. Jamie Comer went even further, insisting he has not talked to Trump since Trump's term ended. Trump, though, has henchmen also reaching out to members of Congress. Joey Tax, that's Joe Tacopina to you who have not anchored shows on MSNBC in this and a previous century. Joey Tax wrote Jim Jordan a letter about Alvin Bragg, and Boris Epstein talks to others in the House. Then there are the nut jobs floating in the middle between Trump and the House, outsiders like Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch and Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project, who are tired of all these pesky hearings and want to move directly to Congress burning people at the stake. No, sorry, I misread that last sentence. They are tired of all these pesky hearings and want to move directly to subpoenas and criminal referrals and staring daggers at Democrats. The news out of the special counsel's grand jury, I presume you already know. A federal district judge yesterday ordered Mike Pence to testify to that grand jury. He broadly turned down the Trump attempt to invoke executive privilege to block the testimony, but the judge did give Pence some wiggle room about testifying specifically on his role in the actual congressional certification from January 6, 2021, the so-called speech and debate exception. Pence does not have to talk about any of that, but whatever Pence witnessed Trump doing, that Pence can be made to testify to. Lastly, don't know if anybody remembers this, but a special grand jury in Fulton County in Georgia took testimony on Trump's attempt to get state officials there to falsify the election outcome in 2020. The grand jury listened to 75 witnesses and issued a report and said some of its witnesses seemed to be lying, and District Attorney Fannie Willis was deciding whether or not to go use it as the basis for convening a regular grand jury and go for indictments when Trump filed a motion to quash the special report, and hold on to your hats, the judge in the case has asked for the DA's response there in Fulton County no later than May 1st. May 1st. Because take your time. It's not like Trump isn't exploiting the slow-moving bureaucracy in Atlanta and the slow-moving bureaucracy in Washington and the slow-moving bureaucracy in New York. And all the while, it's not like he's running to regain power and turn all of you courts into rubber stamps for whatever villainy Stephen Miller and the rest of the Trump undead dream up at night. Still ahead of us in this edition of Countdown, Marjorie Taylor Greene's congressional Twitter account has been suspended for a week just because, while the fascists like Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana wonder if they can charge the dead shooter from Nashville with a hate crime because it was at a Christian school, it's suspended just because she referred to Antifa-driven trans terrorism. F her. And the head of the Chicago Police Union is blunt. If you vote for the black guy for mayor, 1,000 of us cops will quit and there will be, quote, blood in the streets. Seems like there already is in Chicago, and the Chicago police are so bad nobody would notice if 1,000 of them quit. We'll examine in worse persons. And on the eve of the new baseball season, the good old days, when a team manager could order all of his players into a tiny trainer's room at the side of the clubhouse in order to teach a lesson to some obnoxious anchor from SportsCenter. That's next. This is Countdown.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix. Terminix can't help you run for office or take on the country's biggest problems, but they can help you solve one of the peskiest problems at home, pests. You know, the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, even the termites in the walls. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control. Their expertly trained technicians may not know intricate political strategy, but they know their local pest pressures. And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good. Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere. So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it, Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's T-E-R-M-I-N-I-X.com to book online today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Postscripts to the news, some headlines, some updates, some snarks, some predictions. Dateline Twitter, surprising blowback in Elon Musk land. The congressional account of Marjorie Barney Rubble Greene has been suspended for 7 days. She is livid. All she did was describe the mass shooting at the Nashville Covenant School as, quote, the threat of Antifa-driven trans terrorism, and she accused others of politically motivated violence. Green also demanded that Musk restore her account immediately. As always with Twitter suspensions, it is at the moment that you agree to delete the tweets that were in violation of Twitter rules that your account goes from on hold indefinitely to on hold for 7 days. But Green thinks the rules don't apply to her. You will remember those were the rules that applied to me. The rules not applying to her is the story of Marjorie Barney Rubble Greene's life. On Monday, this was the first of her two anti-American events since that shooting. She tried to interfere with ATF agents inspecting a murder store in Smyrna, Georgia, and claimed to have the right to do so because she's on the House Oversight Committee. Thank you, Nancy Faust. Dateline Wilmington, Delaware. News from the Dominion Voting Systems lawsuit against Fox, quote, News, unquote. In a filing this week, the plaintiffs in the $1.6 billion defamation suit submitted their witness list. They want CEO Suzanne Scott of Fox and network president Jay Wallace to testify. Also, the former politics editor Chris Steierwalt and a former executive named Bill Salmon. Owen anchor Brett Baer. And Sean Hannity. And Laura Ingraham and Maria Bartiromo and Tucker Carlson and the ex-Carlson producer who sued Fox, Abby Grossberg, and Lachlan Murdoch and Rupert Murdoch. At a virtual trial hearing yesterday, Fox's attorneys filed objections to every exhibit that Dominion asked to use at trial. The judge, Eric Davis, was outraged. Quoting Davis, "If I think you're just trying to interrupt testimony out of gamesmanship, you may have a problem. Be careful, people. Keep your powder dry on this stuff. This isn't a game. This is a trial, and you're going to be presenting to a jury." Still ahead, so baseball's opening day is tomorrow, and there's so much they've screwed up, I find myself getting all nostalgic for the good old days. Like 30 years ago this August, when a current Major League manager forced all of his players, in the middle of a tense pennant race, to go and hide in the tiny trainer's room adjacent to the team clubhouse just to try to teach me a lesson. I don't learn lessons. That's next on Things I Promised Not to Tell. First time for the daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. The bronze Tommy Tuberville, the half-wit football coach we all continue to pretend is actually qualified to be senator. even senator from Alabama. He is blocking more than 150 military promotions, people who would be in command positions in the Middle East, at NATO, in the Indo-Pacific, some flag officers and such. Tuberville is blocking them over abortions. Huh? Well, the Pentagon has increased access to abortions for military personnel, and Tuberville is one of those theocrats. Yesterday, he got slammed about this. Quote, "It's a tactic that he chose to use. He has that right as a senator. It's not one that I would use." Well, who said that? Senator Deb Fisher of Nebraska. Nebraska. She's a Republican. She's the number two Republican on the Armed Services Committee, and she's pissed. So is the lead Republican on that committee, Roger Wicker. And yesterday, Defense Secretary Austin said Tuberville was undermining absolutely critical military readiness. Tuberville is a religious zealot, and he needs to get the F out of the way. Speaking of which, our runner-up, John Catanzara, president of Chicago's Fraternal Order of Police. Catanzara is a racist and a January 6th denier, and he's now decided to wade into the Chicago mayoral race. Catanzara told the New York Times about candidate Brandon Johnson, quote, "If this guy gets in, we're going to see an exodus like we've never seen before. And there will be, quote, blood in the streets, unquote, because as many as 1,000 Chicago police officers, he says, will resign." As a Chicago police officer, this scumbag Catanzara has been named in 50 different misconduct complaints. He's been suspended 8 times for a total of 131 days. In one stretch, complaints were filed against him in 20 out of 26 years. He's posted on social media calling Muslims, quote, savages. He's answered people on Facebook by threatening them. He's called Senator Dianne Feinstein of California a, quote, bitch, unquote. He's insisted Michelle Obama is a man. And he's attacked trans and gay people and ethnic minorities. And he posted a meme of a police officer with the caption, "If we really wanted you dead, all we'd have to do is stop patrolling your neighborhoods and wait." And now he's threatening Chicagoans with bloodshed if they vote for an African-American for mayor. What the current mayor should do is rush the training of 1,000 new Chicago cops and fire the 1,000 who Catanzara says will quit, and then fire him and let them all try to sue their way back onto the job. They have fewer lawyers than the city of Chicago does. This Catanzara is as dangerous as any of the corrupt Chicago cops of the Capone era. But our winner, hard to top these two losers, but Florida Congressman Byron Donalds has done it. After the latest school shooting, Donalds not only lived up to his reputation for imbecility and condescension, but he literally scolded a reporter for having dared to suggest a ban of the AR-15 murder machine that the Republicans treat as if it were the Christ child. Quote, "If you're going to talk about the AR-15, you're talking politics now. Let's not get into politics. Let's not get into emotion, because emotion feels good, but emotion doesn't solve problems." He then walked away from the interviewer. Well, Byron Donalds doesn't solve problems either. This jackass latched onto the Tea Party and wound up in the House 2 years ago, even though he was arrested in 1997 for distribution of illegal drugs, and he got away with it via a pretrial diversion program. In 2000, Donalds was charged with felony bribery as part of a scheme to defraud a bank. That record was later sealed and expunged, and Donalds says he was just a young kid who made mistakes back then. Donalds was 21 or 22 at the time. Now he is 44, and he's just dismissed any talk about controlling AR-15s. AR-15s are more important to Donalds and his death cult than are the lives of kids, or as the right has kept emphasizing for the last 3 days, the lives of Christian kids. He dismissed them as politics. Well, politics is your job, asshole. Do it. Start serving the country, not just yourself and your bloodthirsty Republican Party. Congressman Byron Donalds of Florida, today's worst person in the world.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix. Terminix can't help you run for office or take on the country's biggest problems, but they can help you solve one of the peskiest problems at home, pests. You know, the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, even the termites in the walls. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control. Their expertly trained technicians may not know intricate political strategy, but they know their local pest pressures. And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good. Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere. So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it, Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TerminiX.com to book online today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finally, to our number one story on the countdown and my favorite topic, me and things I promised not to tell. The New York Yankees were in their first pennant race in 5 years. They had reeled off 8 wins in 10 games to reach a first-place tie with the defending world champion Toronto Blue Jays. It was Sunday, August 22nd, 1993, and I was at Yankee Stadium just 'cause. We were about to start a month of intensive preparations for the launch of the ill-fated ESPN2. Good evening and welcome to the end of our careers. That one. And this was probably going to be my last chance to go to the city, visit my folks, see a ball game, whatever, till further notice. And here was my childhood team, the Yankees, with a lineup that now included friends of mine, like Danny Tartable and Mike Gallego and Don Mattingly, against the Royals, for whom my friends Wally Joyner and David Cone played, and a seat awaiting me in the press box on a beautiful late summer Sunday afternoon with just the earliest hint of fall in the air and Bobby Darin singing on the PA system. And the Yankees got crushed. Kansas City started a pitcher named Chris Haney, who was much less successful than his mediocre 5.47 ERA implied. He would somehow last for 11 seasons and become statistically one of the worst pitchers of a generation. And that day, the Yankees got at least one base runner on in 8 of the 9 innings against Chris Haney, and he still shut them out, 7-0. And you could sense right then that whatever it was that a team needed to have to hold its own down the stretch, the 1993 New York Yankees did not have it. Still, it was fun to visit with reporter friends, some of whom I'd known since I'd broken in 14 years earlier, and some I hadn't seen since then. The only oddity was that at some point during the game, one of the kids from the Yankees' media relations department came over and asked me for my ID. And when I showed him my ID, he asked me if I was planning to go into the Yankee clubhouse afterwards. I said, funny you should ask that. I am headed downtown for dinner, but I missed my friend Danny Tartable before the game for some reason, and I just want to pop in and say hello. And the kid said, thanks, sorry to trouble you, and he left. And the radio reporter I was sitting next to, Don Gould, said that that was one of the strangest things he had seen in that press box, and he added, and nowadays, all you see up here is strange things. As the Yankees went out limply in the ninth, leaving Bernie Williams stranded on first, naturally, I waited until all the reporters with real deadlines had taken the first couple of elevator trips down to the Yankee clubhouse in the basement, and then I leisurely made my way downstairs. I navigated the catacombs of the stadium basement as I had since it had opened in 1976, and felt warm and nostalgic and at peace. I showed my pass to the guard at the clubhouse door and walked into the clubhouse to find the Yankee clubhouse lacking the one thing it had literally always featured in each of the dozens and dozens of times I'd previously entered it since I was 17 years old. Players. There were no Yankee players in the Yankee clubhouse. No Yankees. No Yankees still in uniform, no Yankees half-dressed, no Yankees not dressed, no sounds of other Yankees in the showers off to the left. Nothing. Well, that wasn't quite right. I realized something after about a minute of walking slowly from locker to locker, thinking, isn't this where they used to be? Maybe Mattingly is crouching out of sight over here, and maybe Tartable is hiding behind his suit after that 0 for 3. I realized that while there were no Yankees in the Yankee clubhouse, there were reporters in the Yankee clubhouse, and they were all staring at me and angrily staring at me. I said to them, might have been my friend from upstairs, Don Gould, what the hell's going on? And he said testily, I don't know. Why don't you tell us? The reporters around him, who had never taken their eyes off me, now murmured quietly, but with a subtext of threat and menace and vengeance in their indistinct gurgling. Just at this point, Arthur Richman, who had been the Mets' public relations man forever and was now a Yankees vice president of something for some reason, and more importantly was the surviving brother of the great baseball reporter Milt Richman, who had so helped me at the start of my career at UPI, Arthur tapped me on the shoulder and said, you're Keith Olbermann, right? And I said, yes, we've met before. I used to work with your brother. And he did not look happily at me. And I asked him if he wanted to see my pass or my ID or my identifying birthmarks. Arthur did not smile. The manager would like to see you in his office. I still didn't have the faintest idea what was going on. Have I been sent down to the minors, Arthur? I asked jauntily.
Yes. Yes, you have,
Richman answered with utter seriousness. Arthur Richman escorted me to the little room on the home plate side of the clubhouse in which I had once seen the late Billy Martin shout at a coach, two pitchers, three writers, and a clubhouse attendant who had been with the team since 1927. The current occupant of that tiny office, the manager, rose from his desk. Keith, hi, Buck Showalter. I'm the manager here. I reminded him that we had done a lengthy interview for ESPN Radio the year before. That's right, I'd forgotten. I apologize. Listen, I wanted to tell you, I think you've brought something refreshing and fun to SportsCenter. I watch you all the time, especially when we're on the road. You know the game, too. That's important. But I have to tell you, my players have a problem with what you do. I wasn't that surprised. Players were like that. In 1993, very few sportscasters said anything negative about players. They certainly did not make jokes or puns about them. I saw you on the field before the game, and I heard some of our guys, Showalter continued, like Paul O'Neill and Wade Boggs and Joe Girardi, they were talking about how they were thinking about going out there on the field and punching you in the head. I flashed back suddenly to 1989, when Boggs went on Geraldo Rivera's show and announced he was a sex addict, and how after checking with a few of his Red Sox teammates whom I knew from the year I worked in Boston who said that was nonsense, I went on the air on my sportscast on a local station in L.A., having intercut Boggs' weepy comments to Geraldo with the music video from Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love. I have to say, it was pretty funny, and also might have been the meanest thing I ever did on TV. Boggs wanted to punch me in the head on the field at Yankee Stadium? That checked out. Go on, I said to Buck Showalter. In fact, the players are all staying in the training room in the back until they've been assured you've left the clubhouse and you won't be returning. They voted unanimously.
I thought about this. When did they vote unanimously? While they were getting shut out by the worst pitcher of a generation? That did not check out. Now, like I said, personally, I like what you do, but I think you may want to consider the implications of what not having any access to players ever again will have on your career, especially on such a high-profile program as SportsCenter. I thought about it briefly, and I smiled at Buck Showalter. None whatsoever, actually. I'm a studio guy. I never have to go to games, and more to the point, I've just left SportsCenter for this new ESPN 2 network because my boss has said it's basically going to be a network that's designed around my sense of humor. Buck Showalter was 37 years old then, and at the end of his second year as a major league manager, his team having just achieved a tie for first place, had just gotten the air let out of its balloon by an epically bad pitcher on a not-so-good team, plus they were due on a flight for Chicago, and the bus was supposed to leave in an hour. But Paul O'Neill, Wade Boggs, and Joe Girardi were worried about some dumb sportscaster making jokes. I knew they were doomed. And if manager Buck Showalter actually let Paul O'Neill, Wade Boggs, and Joe Girardi worry about some dumb sportscaster and his jokes, Buck Showalter, too, was doomed. And sure enough, they would lose 20 of their last 37 games after that day and not make the playoffs for 2 years and not actually get anywhere in the playoffs until after Showalter was fired and replaced by my friend Joe Torre. Right around then, after the firing, I was part of the annual ESPN Awards show, the ESPYs. It was the post-ESPYs party, and I went to get a drink and turned a corner, and there coming toward me were Paul O'Neill, Wade Boggs, and Joe Girardi. I was just about to gulp when O'Neill shouted, "There he is, our favorite ESPN guy!" Handshakes. All of them. Girardi said he was amazed. Every time I ripped a player, he said it was somebody he also didn't like. How did I know? Boggs said somebody told me that you put my Geraldo appearance into that Robert Palmer song. If you got a tape of that, I'd like to see it. I told them the Buck Showalter story immediately. "Oh, God, I remember that," said O'Neill. "He was pissed you were in the ballpark and we got shut out. And he made us stay in the trainer's room and not come out till after you left. And, God, it was terrible." The smile vanished from Joe Girardi's face. "Buck did stuff like that all the time. We should all have a drink and talk about it." We all had a drink and we talked about it. Years later, I was telling my late friend Pedro Gomez of ESPN the story, and he said Showalter used to do this to him when Showalter was managing the Arizona Diamondbacks and Pedro was a beat reporter for a newspaper in Phoenix. "You know, Colburn wants to beat you up, but I stopped him," he quoted Showalter as saying. Greg Colburn was a 6-foot, 190-pound weightlifter from California's Inland Empire who seemed to play baseball in his spare time. "So," Pedro said, "I confronted him one day and he said, 'Dude, what are you talking about? You know Buck just makes this crap up.'" The Yankees fired Buck Showalter in 1995, as I mentioned, and won the World Series in 1996. The Diamondbacks fired him in 2000 and won the World Series in 2001. Then he went to work in, of all places, the studio at ESPN for 2 years. Then he got another managing job in Texas, got fired from there, went back to ESPN for 3 more years, and then became the manager at Baltimore in 2010. I was at the Baltimore spring training camp one day, that March, and I see walking toward me from the other side of the field, trying to capture my attention, Buck Showalter. I am now 51 years old. He is now 53 years old. It is nearly 17 years since the day he locked his entire team in the trainer's room in the middle of a pennant race in a complicated ritual that would have been too labyrinthine a plot for Tom Clancy just to express some cheesy grudge against the way I did sportscasts. "Hey," Showalter said when he finally reached me, "when I pulled that stunt on you at Yankee Stadium, was that 93 or 94? We shook hands as I laughed, and I told him it was August of 1993. I can get you the exact date if you need it. "I'm sorry, I had not been in television yet. I didn't get any of it. I just thought you guys came in and shouted your heads off and then went home. I didn't get it, obviously. Why didn't you tell me off or something?" he asked. I shrugged. I said, "Well, there was you, there were 6 coaches, 25 players there versus me, plus all the reporters who were angry at me who were on deadline. What if you were telling the truth?" Now Buck laughed and apologized again. We have been professional friends ever since. Whenever I have seen him, we compare the cruelties of aging and talk about politics and television. I saw him two Saturdays ago. After four more years in TV, when it looked like his managing career might be over, he is back running the New York Mets at the age of 66 and doing a damn fine job of it. And every once in a while, I bring up the trainer's room full of Yankees and he flinches and says, you know, there's one last thing about it that now I cannot possibly understand. That trainer's room, that was really tiny. How did the players all fit in there? I've done all the damage I can do here. Thanks for listening. Here are the credits. Most of the music was arranged, produced, and performed by Brian Ray and John Philip Chenail, who are the Countdown musical directors. All orchestration and keyboards by John Philip Chenail. Guitars, bass, and drums by Brian Ray, produced by TKO Brothers. Other Beethoven selections have been arranged and performed by the group No Horns Allowed. The sports music is the Olbermann theme from ESPN2, and it was written by Mitch Warren Davis, courtesy of ESPN Inc. And that's right, I just kind of mispronounced my own name. That OLB combination has been giving me hell for like 62 years. Anyway, musical comments by Nancy Faust, the best baseball stadium organist ever. Our announcer today was Tony Kornheiser. Everything else was pretty much my fault. Me, Keith Olbermann. That's Countdown for this, the 813th day since Donald Trump's first attempted coup against the democratically elected government of the United States. Arrest him now while we still can. The next scheduled Countdown is tomorrow. Until then, I'm Keith Olbermann. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and good luck. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. If your home or business has pests, don't stress it. Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.